each other, and Mr. Good Samaritan no longer wishes to participate. I mean, that guy is out the door. He got him on the bed, and that guy was gone in a flash. And there's Butch, big puddle of blood on his head, and now I want him to die desperately. This is my wish. You know, somebody once said to me, why didn't you divorce him and let him win? Well, I don't think so. That's not going to happen. No. He ain't winning, and he's going out feet first. That's the plan, and but I don't want my fingerprints anywhere on anything, you know, and stuff. So I didn't know what to do. I called 911. I'm hysterical. They sent a hook and ladder truck, paramedics, police. They even got a hold of my mother, you know, and I'm in the bedroom with the baby crying, oh, my husband, and the Redondo Beach police come in, and they go, Mrs. Gantner, your husband says he injured himself because you pushed him down a flight of stairs, and I told the police I hadn't done that, but if they wanted to prop him up, I'd be happy to push him down in front of the Redondo Beach police. And what is that? I mean, again, to me, the family disease of alcoholism, like, it's not bad enough, and we pour more freaking drama on it. You know, you take a bad situation and pour more crap on it, because that's just where I was with that. And so they finally, the paramedics clean him all up. He's got a little weenie dent in his head, but he's going to need stitches, but he's too drunk to walk. So they got to take him by ambulance, and now it's Friday afternoon, hook and ladder truck, all my neighbors are out front, and Butch knows everybody in the neighborhood because he is the friendliest guy you ever want to meet. I'm real huge on anonymity at this point. I don't speak to anybody, and so Butch comes out on the gurney, you know, and he's, oh, hiya, Frank, hiya, Joe, you know, and all that. Butch, what happened? Larsine pushed me down a flight of stairs. And they all believe him. They all believe him, because all they ever see is easy-going drunk Butch and screaming Banshee Larsine. You know, how I'm affected by the disease of alcoholism, and how I'm affected too is I don't think you hear me screaming. I think my walls are like super walls or something. I don't know what the deal is. But again, how I'm affected by it. And I'm always so right. God, that'll kill you. I'm always so right. You know, every time he tells me, Larsine, I'm not going to do it anymore. I love you. I love our kids. I don't want to do this. And then he does it again. And I know every time he tells me he is sincere, and I know he's telling me the truth, and I know that he means it. But I take it to work, and I tell people what happened at work, and they just look at me, why would you put up with that? Why do you do that? I would leave. You should leave. Because they don't love an alcoholic, and they don't know. And so you don't talk about it with anybody, and that's the isolation. And then you're always right, and you've got nobody to talk to about, and everybody thinks you're a crazy woman. And who do you talk to? Where do you go with that? You know? And all I know is that he's hurting me. And all I learned growing up is when somebody hurts you, you hurt them back. You hurt them back just as hard as you can hurt them back. And again, how we're affected by the disease of alcoholism. And what ended up happening, you know, somewhere in all that craziness, I went to Al-Anon. My friend I'd gone to high school with, her mom had gotten sober, her dad was going to Al-Anon. I asked him to take me to a meeting, he did. Great literature on the table, but not the literature I'm interested in, how to get him to stop drinking and do what you want him to do, because that's all I'm interested in. You know, yet when I was sitting in that front row and they said, Larsine, do you want your life to be different? Oh my God, do I want my life to be different. Larsine, what are you willing to do about it? Nothing, because it's not my fault. You fix him and I'll be okay. You know, and that's, again, information from nowhere becomes fact for me. And what ended up happening is my husband was going to have a family reunion, and it's his, you know, he's one of nine, it's a big deal, only alcoholic out of the bunch. I make him raise his right hand and promise me he'll be sober so we can go that day. And guess that day comes, and guess who's so drunk and so loaded he can't even stand up. And I am pissed. I am so pissed. And I'm here to tell you, no matter how drunk or blacked out my husband's been, he's never raised a hand to hit me. He's just not that violent guy. He doesn't do that. But that day I was poking him in the chest and I was egging him to hit me. Because I got to pour more drama on it. Let's just make it worse. Let's just take it to the next level. And all of a sudden, when I'm yelling and screaming at him, by then we have two little boys, and they're 5 and 3 years old, and they're standing on either side of me, and they're yanking at my pant legs. And I look down, and these little boys are like, Mommy, Mommy, please stop yelling at Daddy. And I would like to tell you that I had a moment of clarity then, but I did not. What I started doing was I started screaming at these little boys, how dare they tell me to stop yelling at their dad when he's the reason our life is a piece of crap. And by the time I get done screaming at these little boys, I watch my drunken husband walk out the front door. And I, the sober mother, say to the drunken dad, where do you think you're going? And the drunken dad turns to the sober mom and says, I'm leaving because we're upsetting the kids. And again, I don't tell you the story because I'm proud of it. I tell you the story because this is where the family disease of alcoholism took me, and I'm the good guy. I'm the one with the job. I'm the one keeping a roof over our head. I'm the one keeping our family together. And again, that's the illusion of whatever, you know, and all the time, all I am is miserable, and I'm hurting the